it. And so she doesn't appear to be any none the worse wear for it, or she's not worse for the wear, because she has the joy of the Lord all over her. And she's being raised by a loving dad who's been coming with her. He's been bringing her to church on Sundays the last few weeks. And it's because of mighty warriors like Raina that I've been inspired to give to you today a talk about how we can raise mighty warriors for Jesus. In fact, we like the theme so much, we've put it on our shirts. What do you think of these shirts? Aren't they good looking? Yeah, you guys look good in these shirts. So our scripture from today comes from the book of Zechariah, which is kind of an interesting book to talk about when it comes to parenting. In fact, this scripture inspired our shirts and inspired our artwork, and then I just kept reading it, and it began to really inspire me about parenting. Let's read it together, beginning in chapter 10, verse 5. It says, "They will be like mighty warriors in battle, trampling their enemies in the mud under their feet. Since the Lord is with them as they fight, they will overthrow even the enemy's horsemen. I will strengthen Judah and save Israel. I will restore them because of my compassion. It will be as though I had never rejected them, for I am the Lord, their God, who will hear their cries. The people of Israel will become like mighty warriors, and their hearts will rejoice be made happy as if by wine. Their children too will see it and be glad. Their hearts will rejoice in the Lord. When I whistle to them, they will come running, for I have redeemed them from the few who are left. They will grow as numerous as they were before. Though I have scattered them like seeds among the nations, they will still remember me in distant lands. They and their children will survive and return again to Israel. I will bring them back from Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will resettle them in Gilead and in Lebanon until there is no more room for them all. They will pass safely through the sea of distress, for the waves of the sea will be held back, and the waters of the Nile will dry up, and the pride of Assyria will be crushed by the rule of Egypt, and the rule of Egypt will end. By my power, I will make my people strong." Say strong. "And by my authority, they will go wherever they wish. I, the Lord, have spoken." So this passage teaches me a lot about parenting and a lot about how to raise mighty warriors. And I think the first thing we can really learn from this passage about raising mighty warriors is we really have to teach God that the Lord is with them if they are fighting the right fight. And that fight is the fight of righteousness. We have to teach them that they are in a war against the powers of darkness, against the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but that they will have victory, amen? Because the word says that God will be with them when they fight the good fight of faith. And one way to do that is to teach the kids to put on the full armor of God. Let's talk about the armor of God. We've got what? The belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the shoes of peace, the breastplate, righteousness, and the shield of faith. Good job, guys. Good job. We've been teaching kids about the armor of God a long time. And the Bible says, once you have put on the full armor of God, that you are to stand. And the Lord is fighting for you, and you will be able to take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, we have some awesome, mighty warriors that teach kids about the armor of God, and some of them have been doing it for years and years. I may cry. I told y'all. I warned you. I apologize. A couple of my best friends right here, ignore this face in the middle, but this one here, she has a kindness of spirit and a gentleness and a love for people that you don't see very much. Andrea Morrison, she loves God and loves his people and never complains. She's been teaching a lot of kids the armor of God for a long time, and some of them not so nice. She's been faithful in her diligence to raise up mighty warriors. And then we got this one, Charlotte Neal. She is full of joy, full of laughs, and she's had the cards stacked against her in more ways than I have, in more ways than most of us. And yet in the 25 years I've known her, I don't believe I've ever seen her even have a bad day. One of my favorite Charlotte stories was at camp. If you ever doubt she's a mighty warrior, this story will tell you. We had a kid get up to the top of the tower, and he panicked. He wasn't going down the barn swing, and she was the only leader there. Many of you may know she has a prosthetic leg. She had to go up the barn swing to get that boy. When she gets up there, she finds out the only way down is to swing. So she tells him, listen, I'm swinging down and you're coming after me. And if my leg falls off, then you're in big trouble. But she got down and she is a warrior for Christ. Now I am inspired by them. I'm inspired by their dedication. I'm inspired by their friendship. And they are always training up mighty warriors. You see, our fight as believers, both young and old, is the fight of righteousness. We're in a war. It's a war against sin. It's a war against our enemies. But we have the Good Shepherd. We're teaching kids that God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says that we have a Good Shepherd who cares about every breath. He says that we can come to him with everything. And that, did you know that every single hair on your head is numbered by God? Imagine that. That's the kind of God that we have. And when we put on the full armor of God and we teach them to be mighty warriors, they will know that God is with them. We want them to never forget that God is with them. So, the second thing I think we can learn from this is that God, I've got my notes. Give me just a second. There we go. Is that we have to model it. And this one's the hardest part, right? Because modeling it is not always easy because we get distracted. And even from time to time, I find myself not modeling the behavior I'm looking for in my mighty warrior at home very well because I tend to fail. But we have to model that behavior. If we want our kids to be more warriors for Jesus, we have to model warrior behavior. Our children learn by our example. Sometimes, Lord have mercy, I think our children learn godly character in spite of our example. And that's when God is rescuing them and making up the difference. I recently met a mom in a grocery store who broke my heart because she said to me, I know her, I ran into her, she said to me, she was terrible, just terrible. Her teenage daughter was making terrible choices. It was just awful. And then she said something I'll never forget. She said this, I just thought that because she's seen all the trouble that her dad and I have had, that she would make better choices. And that broke my heart because that's really not the way it works. They do what they see us doing. We can't expect our kids to make any more godly choices than we do. They may, by the grace of God, but we can't expect it. If we want them to make better choices and to be godly with godly character, we have to model it. There are times I get discouraged that I just sometimes just want to give up. There are times that I just don't think I can go on in the fight in ministry. And if all the things that I have that push me forward, which are great mentors, a good team, a wonderful family, all of those things, my faith in God, if all of those things don't keep me pushing forward, there is one thing that always does, and it's this, that my son is watching me. And I do not want to set a bad example for him. And so I'm going to do all that I can to make sure that I'm modeling godly character. When he's watching, which is all the time. And when I mess up, I say so. And I start again as best as I can. And sometimes that takes one of them to say, hey, that wasn't right. Sometimes it takes somebody to point it out to me. But the fact that I've got somebody watching really helps to keep me focused. Because I want to see him get it right in life. Do you? I want to see him fight the fight of righteousness. Did you know that setting a good example is required by Scripture? Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, be imitators of me, just as I am an imitator of Christ. Here's somebody I think setting a great example for their kids. couple of my good friends, Holly and Jason. Everybody give them a woohoo. So Holly and Jason have four kids, and I think they would tell you that they didn't start out all that great, maybe. But that they probably wouldn't tell you this, and I will, that now they are killing it. For the last several years, they have been killing it in parenting. They're setting great godly examples, and they're setting examples about what it means to be a mighty warrior. They've got four kids, and they come to both services every single week so that their teenagers can also serve a service and attend a service. And if you know one of their teenagers who teaches kids church back there, you know what a great job they are doing of modeling godly behavior. I recently heard Craig Groeschel say, he has six kids. He's a huge pastor, probably the pastor of the biggest church in America. He did a sermon series on habits, and he talked about forming godly habits with his children and how he and his wife have made that a priority. He said, never once have any of my six children ever got up on a Sunday morning and said, are we going to church today? Because they already knew the answer to that. Of course they're going to church today. They had instilled a godliness of character that their children knew secondhand. Here's another guy I think has had a great godly example. Now, this is a story about a kid. It's probably one of my most favorite salvation stories. This is Gabe. Everybody say hi to Gabe. Gabe was singing earlier. Yep, Gabe is a cool dude. Now, Gabe doesn't always, he has lots of energy, and it's only matched by his huge heart. He doesn't always pay very close attention, maybe, and sometimes he doesn't follow all the directions, but his heart is so big and so tender that we are all so endeared to Gabe. Now, let me tell you about when Gabe gave his heart to the Lord and how it taught me a lesson about modeling. About a year and a half ago at VBS, we did a big salvation message with every group, and I happened to have the kids who were going to be third graders. And I'm talking to them about Jesus, and I had this big Lego presentation about the salvation message and the steps and the so forth, and we go all the way through it, and we get to the end, and I have them all bow their heads and close their eyes, and then I talk to them about praying a prayer, and I said, if you want to pray that prayer today, I ask you to raise your hand. And I had all these leaders on the side ready to grab the kids who raised their hand, and a bunch of them raised their hand, including Gabe, but I didn't have enough leaders. And so several of my leaders were taking two, and Josh went to grab Gabe, and I waved Josh off. I go, because I didn't think he paid good enough attention. Because I didn't think he was quite ready. And so they take all of the kids out, and I've got the leftover kids, and I'm telling them, hey, we're going to go to snack, or we're going to games, and the rest of the night is going to be so fun. And he interrupted me and said, Miss Rachel, why did you not take me? I raised my hand to be saved. And I said to him, well, Gabe, do you even know what it means to be a Christian? And he said, yes. And he gave me an excellent answer. And I said, okay then. I said, well, do you know, here was my good second question, do you know that you're a sinner? And he said something I'll never forget. He said to me, I don't want to be a sinner. I want to be a Christian like my Nana and my Papa. And I burst into tears because it reminded me that he has had a great model, but more so about the importance of people modeling godly behavior. And so he and I prayed right then, and he received Jesus as his Savior, and his mom and his grandparents came to see him be baptized. And Gabe knew what it meant to be a Christian, and he knew what it meant to be a warrior for Jesus because he had seen it modeled by his parents. It isn't easy to model godly behavior, but it's important. And that taught me a lesson I'll never forget. The godly character that he had seen modeled mattered a big deal to Gabe. It mattered for him all the way to eternity. The third thing I think we can learn from Scripture here is that if we want our kids to be mighty warriors, we got to teach them to run towards God. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, when I whistle to them, they will come running because I have redeemed them. Did you know it's our job to teach them to run after God? It's our job to show them where to run. Now, we can do this in a lot of ways. We can do it by saying things like this. Well, what do you think God thinks about that? Or here's a good one to ask a little kid, because it never occurs to us. Have you prayed about that? They're struggling with something at school. They're struggling with their friend. Have you prayed about it? Should we pray about it together? When they're facing something hard, what does the Bible say? Turn to them and turn it and show them. If you don't know, learn together. When you're facing something hard, you encourage them. We're going to ask God. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God. And we're going to follow him. We remind them to trust the Lord and not lean on their own understanding. We tell them to pray through. We teach them to run after God, and the other junk will kind of fade away. When we don't run after God, we might as well be wandering aimlessly through life, because we have no hope. We have no shepherd. And Jeremiah says this: if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. We got to teach our kids to run with all their hearts after God, because warriors run with a heart for God. Finally, when you do all of these things, we learn that at the end of that scripture, that it will make our kids strong. Everybody say strong. Flex your muscles. You want to be strong? You want your kids to be strong? Listen to what verse 11 and 12 says. It says, they will pass safely through the sea of distress, for the waves of the sea will be held back, and the waters of the Nile will dry up. The pride of Assyria will be crushed, and the rule of Egypt will end. By my power, I will make my people strong. Say strong. And by my authority, they will go wherever they wish. I, the Lord, have spoken. When they're strong in the Lord, they can endure whatever comes their way. And they can strengthen their brothers and sisters. They have no fear of peril, for they're strong in the Lord. They don't succumb to discouragement because they're strong in the Lord. When they're tempted to fall away, they'll return because they're strong in the Lord. Here come the tears. I apologize. But I'm pretty proud of this kid right there, my mighty warrior. And I'm so proud of his friends. All three of these kids have given their hearts to Jesus since we've known them. They are mighty warriors. You know, the best thing about Facebook sometimes is that your memories will pop up. And I was telling the staff a few weeks ago that one of my memories popped up that said when Isaac was six, he said, Mom, if there was ever an intruder at church, the people will probably send me out to fight him. And I said, yes, they will, son. Because we've been telling him he's a mighty warrior since he was really little. I would say every morning before he walked out the door, you're a brave and mighty warrior, son. And when my husband was coaching ball and he had all these boys, he would tell him stories about mighty warriors, about the stories in the Bible, about mighty warriors, about Israel and how God is their mighty warrior. And he was trying to build them up and to make them strong. You see, I want my kid to be strong in faith. I want him to be a mighty warrior. I want him to fight the right fight, because I know that God is with him. But I also so much want him to strengthen others. I want to ask you a question. I want you to raise your hand if you came to know Christ, all of you in here, because of the influence of another person. Raise your hand. Every single one of us, almost. Either your parents or a friend or somebody told you about Christ. It's called friend evangelism. It's the best way to reach the world. One person at a time. One relationship at a time. My prayer is that he'll always be strong, but that he'll always try to strengthen others. That he'll look for an opportunity to strengthen others, to be others-minded, to be kingdom-minded, to realize that reaching people for Jesus is the only thing that matters. Last week, on Saturday, We had been in a ball tournament all day, and we kind of experienced a little frustration, and I was kind of frustrated, and I was thinking about it that night. It was real trivial. I was just thinking about that kind of over and over as I went to bed. And then the next morning as I got up and I'm getting ready for church, I'm thinking about it again, and in the shower I'm thinking about that, head to church. And at the end of church, I see my son go to the altar and kneel in prayer with his Nana in one arm and Brinley on the other side. And it was like just a water in my face. And I was like, I have worried and I've put effort into things that matter so little. And my son on his knees today reminded me of what's most important. Because whatever I'm getting wrong or whatever I'm getting right, the only thing that really matters is that I'm trying to raise a mighty warrior and I want to see him follow Jesus. And that's it. That's the most important part. But we're in a little bit of a spot because even though all of us came to Christ because of the influence of somebody else, the gospel is still dying. Fewer people are coming to Christ, and the churches are growing smaller and smaller. Nationwide, it's an epidemic. But the gospel depends on us. And so we've decided to do something about it. We've decided to have a friend night. Now, it sounds like a lot of fun, and it is. We're going to have invite a friend night on April 10th, Wednesday, April 10th. And we're going to set a goal. And we're going to, if they reach the goal, I'm going to let them put a pie in my face or dunk me in a dunk tank or something. We can talk about what that is next week. You guys can decide. And we're going to give them flyers and we're going to make a big deal of it. But here's the whole reason. Because my main prayer is involved, all wrapped up in these kids becoming multipliers. You see, we're hoping that a lot of friends are going to come that night, that these mighty warriors are going to invite their friends, their lost and unchurched people. And I'm hoping that we pack the place out. But then I'm praying that those people are going to come back for Easter Sunday and bring their parents. Because did you know that Easter Sunday is just a few weeks away? As statistics show that no other time in the year are people as open to faith as they are at the holidays. That's like the best time for people, for their hearts to be open. And so that really starts with us. And so I'm praying even harder that if they get in the door that day, that on Easter Sunday, that they've been invited by mighty warriors, that day they hear about Jesus, the greatest of all time, the GOAT, and that they give their hearts to the Lord on Easter Sunday. That's the one reason we're doing it. You see, my prayer always is this when we close a kids' service. I pray this. I say, God, multiply the kids that we have and cause the kids we have to be multipliers for the kingdom. That's what this church is about. It's about reaching the lost, about growing them up. And the best way to do that starts with you. Because everybody knows somebody that needs to know Jesus. And you are a mighty warrior. And so it's time to start moving. You may have listened to all of this today and thought that I've not done such a good job of modeling. I failed in a lot of areas. And I feel like that too. I told you last week, I was reminded of my failure. Let me tell you something. All you got to do is start over. You can start over as many times as it takes. I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again because somebody needs to hear it. My mom and dad probably made 100 mistakes. I don't remember a single one. I only remember how they taught me to love God passionately because they were modeling it. They started over as many times as it took. They cared about me being strong. They cared about me reaching others. They started a passion in me. Sometimes it's a pain to get your kids and their friends and everybody to church. Listen, that might save their life. Take as many trips as you have to. Start early. Take two cars. It might save their life. I want to pray for you as a parent. I want to pray for you as grandparents. I know some of you've got adult kids. Believe me, they need you. I don't know how we would get by in our family without my parents. They still need you to model. They still need you to love. And this church needs to be full of people who want to model godly character for the next generation of church leaders, which is exactly what these guys are. And so everybody bow your heads. If I can pray for you as a parent, lift your hand. Lift it up. If you've got adult kids and you still need prayer, lift them up. That's great. Hands all over the place. So, Father, you see these upraised hands. They're paired with an open heart. God, I pray that you would strengthen these moms and dads, these folks here at church, that you'd strengthen us in our character, God, that you'd cause us to model it. Help us to teach kids, God, that you're with them. Help us to make good choices, to set good examples. Help us to grow and raise mighty warriors. God, it seems like an impossible task, but your word says, my grace is sufficient. And so, Father, when we're weak, we'll lean on you to help us. Father, help us to just start over. God, I thank you for the dads who are here today who have their families in church. Father, I pray you grow them up even more mighty, that you put them as beacons of light for their kids and their kids' friends. God, for the struggles and the broken hearts that are here, I pray you do what you do, God, and you heal them and mend them so that we can continue to move forward. And now, Lord, perhaps more than ever, I ask you, God, on behalf of all these kids here, God, today, that you'd strengthen them, God, that their hearts would be set on you, that they would run for you, God, with their whole hearts. Father, that their legacy of faith would far outlast any of ours, that they'd reach more people than we'll reach, that they would do more for you than we ever will. God, may they be mighty. Father, I pray you put a hedge of protection around them, that the powers of darkness would have no room in their life, that they'd be set apart. God, I pray over Invite a Friend Night for Easter Sunday, Father. I pray that the people that are seated in these brown seats would be so inspired that, God, they can't wait to invite somebody to church. We thank you, God, for how you're inspiring me, God, every day. I don't know how you see fit to use me sometimes, Lord, but you never give up. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing on our behalf and for these awesome kids. In Jesus' precious name, we say. So, guys, it's almost noon. We'd love it if you'd all stay, but we have to do a flip over. So we got to stack the chairs 7 high and get them all over to the side. The kids who are serving, don't move just yet. You're going to go get in line to serve, and we are going to work that serve line as fast as we can, but we ask you to be patient with us. We've got lots of good stuff to auction off. We pray you'll stay. All of the money we raise, hey kids, shh, if you can hear me, go shh. Thank you. All of the money we raise is going to go to send these awesome kids to camp. We've got over 100 signed up, so we need between $10,000 and $11,000. I thank you for letting me speak to you today. I pray, God, that you're inspired. We love you so much around here as parents, and we are rooting for you in the fight. So you guys, let's eat some pulled pork. What do you say? And we'll be setting tables too. So look for the guys in the blue shirts. They'll tell you what to do.